لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين خالق السماوات والأرضين ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين والمزمل والمدثر أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الدائم الأبدي على أعداء مجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحكيم وقرآن المجيد وهو أصدق القائلين وقوله الحق. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله and all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has given us this opportunity to acquire guidance from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and give us that heart with that softness to commemorate the days of sorrow and grief. Ahlul Bayt, in these days especially, the days which are close to Ashura, were very, very difficult for Imam Hussain alayhi salam to see his children and ladies all crying with thirst. These nights and these days of Muharram, it's all al-atash, al-atash, oh thirst, oh thirst. It's all cries of thirst was there, especially by children. We in this atmosphere, in this climate, even if we don't get a glass of water in a day, we feel thirsty. Several glasses we drink in a day. We cannot imagine the might of thirst those children had in that hot summer in the barren field of Karbala, when there was water in their sight, but not even a drop of water in the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yes. It's not just that we listen and read this event of Karbala just like any other historical book or a storybook. It's not just any other history event, historical event, or some sort of a very interesting storybook. No. It's a history which is ibrah, which is learning and lesson in it. That in this event, we should ponder that there are signs of people who have that ability to ponder and think, analyze, and realize that what that event was, that how those people, they went through this event. And really, it doesn't end on the 10th of Muharram. Rather, there is another beginning or another chapter of this event after the 10th of Muharram. With those ladies and children taken as captives, really, it's difficult for any heart with having a little bit of a humanity will weep on that and cry for those people. And that's why people around the world, people not only Muslims but other than Muslims, they come together, they commemorate this event and they remember Imam Hussein's sacrifices. Because they call it that sacrifices of Imam Hussein was not for Muslims, it was a universal event for the entire humanity. In my first or second speech, I mentioned this sentence that as the Quran is a universal book, Ahlul Bayt in totality, and especially Imam Hussein, has that guidance and they are guide for the entire humanity and entire mankind. Rather, for the entire universe. They are not limited to us. People can get guidance, those who ponder and think about their teachings and especially about this event of Karbala. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about forgiving people. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about giving. It's all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just keep that verse, the beginning verse, the title of my speeches. That is the Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. Yukhrajuhum min adh-dhulumati ilan nur. So those people who go under the wilaya and the protection and the guidance and the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will always be guided. Yes, they will face challenges, difficulties, They will have to face atrocities of the tyrants of the time. But these are all tests. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That we have created you to find out who is the best amongst you. These are all tests. Imam Hussein gave us the concept that our entire life should be based on the supreme and righteous ideology which has been given to us by Quran and by the teachings and the lifestyle of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Kal recite Salawat Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. To strengthen ourselves, coming to our world, our times, it's really challenging. It's really challenging. It's not that Iblis and his army, his followers, or the shaitan is only in this part of the world. It's in all the parts of the world. It's really challenging for us. Really challenging for us. To keep ourselves on the right path, to abstain from wrongful doings, sinful acts, to control our lustful desires, to limit ourselves to what are our needs, and stop going towards our wants. When this materialistic world, a consumer's world, especially the Western society, now it's also being transferred to the other part of the world, that is gradually becoming a consumer's world. Consumer's world. It's all making us materialistic to consume more and more material beyond our needs. And when we go beyond our needs, definitely somewhere in the world, we are being, what we can say there are people over there who are not able to even fulfill their needs, and we are about going towards our wants and our wishes. So there is an imbalance into the society of the world. Don't see just this society, the entire society now, everyone says it's just like a village, a global village. So if it's a global village, so it's not that you have to see that what in this El Paso is going on, or in the United States of America is going on. No, you have to see that those people who are on the other part of the world, maybe in Africa, maybe in Asian countries, Middle East countries, are they able to fulfill their needs? Are they getting good education? Are they getting good health facilities for their health facilities? Do they have at least proper 2 times meal while we are having 4, 5 times, 6 times meals a day? You know, we don't count actually those munching we do between the meals. So we say it's not a meal actually. It's a meal. It's a meal. We don't count it, but it's a meal. So we consume 4, 5, 6 times a day, and there are people in this world who are unable to have proper food even twice a day. Do we have some responsibility towards them or not? The message of Karbala says, yes, it is our responsibility. It is not the responsibility of those needful people to come and ask from us. Rather, it is the responsibility of those people who have more than their needs that they should approach them. You can go through the Quranic verses. Allah says to the people that go and pay zakat. That those wealthy people, what they should do? They go to the pure people. They should go to the needy people. Poor people, they should have the dignity. They should not go to the wealthy people. Wealthy people should go to the needy people and poor people. This is the culture of Islam. This is the moral and ethical values which has been taught to us in Islam. Do we have this? Do we possess this? Or we are vice versa? Actually, our mindset is different. Wealthy people says, okay, if needy people really their needs, they will come to us. No. Needy people has been asked that if you need something, you should go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him that He may fulfill. Don't go to the people like yourself. And to the wealthy people, Allah says that you should go to the needy people. It's just not balancing the wealth, it is also balancing of our hearts and our moral and ethical values. That we should not think ourselves just like a god, that we can do whatever we can. No, it's not like that. Every center goes through this situation of fundraising. Everywhere, whenever we go for, especially in the first 10 days, nobody has asked me from the management to speak about it. But just to give you a direction that how important it is to have a strong center for yourselves. Remember, I have also talked to them that it's not only the infrastructure and building. You need a software as well. A good alim should be there. A people should be invited over there to guide the community living over here. If you establish a good center, maybe people living far away, they may come to over here because of the facilities. It's important. Another thing for the center is that the center should be into the center. Center should be into the center. It's not that it should be far away. It should be into the center. It should be working actively that every day the door of the center should be opened. At least for Maghrib and Isha prayers over here. Well, if we are living far away, so nobody bothers to come. Of course, difficult. Every day person cannot come 1 hour drive and like come over here. Yes, if a person is living close by, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, so person can come every day. If someone is closer to the center, it's ni'mah for that family and for those children who are living over there. And should be active. It should not be confined for... Why? It cannot be used for multi-purpose things. Maybe as a daycare center as well. Maybe for some place over there to have a workout for youngsters, to play something over there, so they can come close to the center, to the mosque. It's around 20 years back. There is a mosque around my area where I am living in Karachi, Pakistan. They had a mosque and they bought a new land just beside that mosque. One of the trustees was sitting at my uncle's place. I was also visiting from Iran at that time. So he was just talking to me that, Maulana, what should we build over here? I said, why are you asking me? Already you people have decided that you are going to make that portion for ladies specially. 2,000 yard plot, a building will be built only for ladies to sit over there while listening to majlis. Okay. So what's your idea? I said, ladies' place is enough where it is right now. Make that building as a sports center or sports club. These girls and boys who will come over here to play, these students, these boys and girls will come to offer their prayers as well. And these will be your volunteers to work while you are having different functions, majalis, like commemorating Ayame, Aza, and Milad, and so on. Well, it was just an idea which was been floated at that time. They did not realize and they built that place for ladies. And after that, after 10 years after that, maybe more than that, they realized that there is a need for youngsters. Then again they have to buy another 2,000 yards plot, and then on that they built a sports club for youngsters. And again, it's unfortunately it's only for boys. So my boy goes over there, but my girls, they can't. Again, they complain. But now those youngsters, they are volunteers. Those youngsters, they come not only in Zohar and Asar prayers, Maghrib and Isha prayers, but also in Fajr prayers. They are active people. They go over there, they offer their prayers over there. So it's important that we may able to bring our youngsters. Don't make your centers as a leisure place for elderly people, please. It's a place of education, especially for youngsters and for the generation to come. Yes, we need also elderly people, they need also, but the need is for the generation to come. So we should plan for that. And everybody should contribute, everyone, even those youngsters, those children who get pocket money, I say they should also give something from their pocket money, and that something should not be less than $100. Last night, I don't know how come... Bimakshudan, Jasarat, okay. Mazratan, doctor. They were just asking, is this whoever want to give money, they can give. No, my dear. You must say that everyone should give. It's their center. You were right that it's not for you, it's for everyone and the generation to come. You are not building for yourself. Maybe you go somewhere else in some state. But what you will be doing over here, what you will be giving over in this center to build this mosque, this place, it will be remain for you. Huwa baqin 'inda Allah. It will be remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, you will see the amount which you have spent on yourself. It's all waste. But the amount you have given to build a center, something like this one, over here and elsewhere, that will be remain in your account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the most strongest investment we ever had. Who is there? Quran says, who is there who is going to give me qarz, loan? Do you have any place, any bank, any investment institute who gives you 18%? How much return your banks gives? 2%, 3%? That's it. Some investment institutes, maybe hardly 4%. 1%. 1% per annum, per month or something like that, per annum. Yeah. Allah gives you 18% every second, my dear, every second. There is no parallel to the investment which we do on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not that I'm saying just donate only this center. No, donate for this center and for all those places which you can, maybe back in Iraq, maybe in Kuwait, I don't know, maybe in Iran, maybe in Pakistan, maybe elsewhere, in India, whatever, in Africa. Yes. There is a need of centers around the world to gather followers of Ahlul Bayt. They don't have places. They don't have places. I have visited villages in Pakistan where there is a mosque. They don't have mosque proper, shelter on it. When it rains, it's poured down. Well, people put buckets and under those dropping raindrops to collect that water. So they are. It's not that one place, and they are not one thing in which you can invest. There are several things. Education, education, education. Education is the most important thing that a person should acquire. Especially boys should acquire higher education. Why I'm saying especially boys? Because girls are already, they are having their higher education. But boys are a little bit behind all over America, all over in the world. Unfortunately, but it's like that. Wherever I go around the America, I see that there are dropouts from boys. Girls, they have done their masters. And unfortunately, when it comes to seek spouse, they can't find the someone similar to them. There are problems. There are several problems. I don't want to talk about it, at least this night. So it's the very special night that we should be caring about it. These all nights are, we should ponder on this event, the sacrifices laid by Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions. What we learn from Imam Hussain's brother, Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas, what we learn about him? Yes, we praise him, but do we really know why we praise him? Who he was? Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas was Imam Ali's sons, was brave. And how he was brave? Because he was being specially selected by Hazrat Aqil, brother of Imam Ali, for Imam Ali alayhi salam to get married with him. And Hazrat Abbas was born. It's been said four sons were being born to Hazrat Ummul Baneen. Hazrat Ummul Baneen's actual name was Fatima. Then after some time after marriage, Hazrat Ummul Baneen requested Hazrat Ali to change her name. You know why? Because whenever Hazrat Ali used to call her Fatima, Hazrat Ali used to cry and remember Hazrat Fatima. Salamullah alayha.
Baba Zay Bulan Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So then he changed her name to Ummul Baneen. So it's not her title actually, sometimes been interpreted as her title, it's not his title, but rather it's her name which was being changed and used to call with that. Hazrat Abbas, when he was 11, he was with Amir al-Mu'mineen in Battle of Siffin. There was a strong commander in the army of Muawiyah. He called out Imam Ali and challenged him. that my sons can kill you and I will kill you. Come forward. Amir al-Mu'mineen asked Hazrat Abbas to hide his face and then he may go so people may not recognize who he really is. Hazrat Abbas, although he was 11, but it's been said in history that he had some build and it wasn't easily recognized that he is just a child. Good height, good build. And that person who called Hazrat Ali to come forward, he had 7 sons. One by one, he sent his son and Hazrat Abbas very easily beheaded them. 7 sons, they were being killed by Hazrat Abbas at the age of 11. At the age of 11. Then father came and he was thinking that this person is Ali because he had never met Ali. So he thought that this person is Ali. So he came into battlefield and he was being killed. So people were got afraid and surprised at who this person is. Then Ali came forward. So people again surprised. And if he wasn't Ali, then who he is? Then people asked that to this person, that come on, come out of hiding your face. Imam Ali said, no, don't open your face. Again they asked. Again for the third time they asked, that let us see who you are. That Imam Ali said, yes, now you can. And then it appears that he wasn't Ali. He was Abbas bin Ali. Who said, who you are? People ask who you are. He said, I am Abul Fadl. I am Abul Fadl. I am son of Ali. He said, son of Ali are over there. Hassan or Hussein. He said, no. Those two are the sons of the Holy Prophet Muhammad and I am the son of Ali. So those two are eyes of my father. Hassan and Hussein are eyes of my father and I am his hand. And hands are supposed to safeguard eyes. So I am their God and I will safeguard them. Allahu Akbar. Abbas was like that. He was so strong. He was so strong. And on the deathbed of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when the entire family was being given to Imam Hassan, the hand of Hazrat Abbas was been given in the hand of Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Ummul Baneen started crying. But why Ali, why? Don't you love my son Abbas? I love Abbas. That's why I've been giving his hand to Hussein. The Hussein is responsible of Abbas. And Abbas is the person who will safeguard Hussein. Abbas has nothing to do with other people. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Abbas was someone. Why we say Abbas and call him that he was the person with wafa? What wafa he did? What wafa he did really? That he restrained himself to go beyond the call of his imam. He restrained, he did not. He wasn't disobedient to his imam. He wanted, he was being meant, he was being brought into this world. He was being brought into this world to fight in Karbala, to save Imam Hussein. He was being brought up. He was being groomed. He was being trained by Imam Ali himself. And all indications were there. Explicitly rather, not only indications, but explicitly is what been said, that Abbas is for Karbala. Abbas is for Karbala. Yes. Even in the battlefield, in Karbala, Habib ibn Mazahir and Zuhair were talking, you know that Ali got married with Ummul Baneen because of Abbas? Because of Abbas, so Abbas can protect Hussein one day. I think, and this is that day which was been promised by Ali. Allahu Akbar. And Abbas was there. And Abbas saw companions of Imam Hussein one by one were being slaughtered and killed and beheaded in Karbala. And their blood was spilled all over Karbala. He saw, Abbas saw Ali Akbar was been killed and his body was been trampled. Abbas saw Qasim, son of Imam Hassan, was been killed. Allahu Akbar. Abbas saw Aunu Muhammad was been killed. Allahu Akbar. Abbas saw his entire clan was beat. Martyred. Allahu Akbar. Abbas came to Hussein. Abbas came to his Mawla Hussein and seek his permission to go into battlefield. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Abbas, one of his title is Bab al-Hawaij. Everyone cannot be Bab al-Hawaij. The one who can fulfill your needs and your prayers. The one who can intercede your prayers between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quality which has been given to Anbiya, prophets and imams, infallible divine leaders. Not to non-infallible personality except Abbas. Allahu Akbar. Just narrating one little event in Karbala years back, an alim narrated this, that I was offering my prayers in Haram-e Hazrat Abbas when I saw a young person has put his head on his knees and he was crying. Well, I just saw him and again I engaged into my prayers. After some time, I couldn't resist and asked that, why you are crying, my dear? What's wrong? Whatever you will ask, with the intercession of Abbas, your dua will be accepted. And be sure. He said, no. What I have really promised my daughter, I don't think so. That alim said, don't have doubt about it. Don't have doubt about it. Then he narrated, my child, I have a girl, a daughter. 5-6 years he mentioned. Said, she is blind by birth. We know that blind by birth, they do not get eyes back. Allahu Akbar. One day while I was offering my prayers in my house, my daughter comes to me and asks, Father, these children outside, they are all talking about the beauty of the flower, that this flower of this color and this other flower is of that color. Father, would it be possible for me to look to this beauty of this world? I was been irritated and agitated, and I said, go offer 2 rakatan prayers and ask Allah that bihaqti Abbas, he will give you eyes. I just told him something like that. And I know that it's not going to happen. Then alim said, no, don't have doubt. Don't have doubt in Abbas. Abbas can intercede any dua. have believed in Abbas. Allahu Akbar. His Babul Hawaij, his Babul Hawaij. That person offered his prayers, and then while he was offering his prayers, he put again his head on his knees and went to sleep. He saw in his dreams that there's a long queue in front of Abbas, and Abbas is giving, that Hadhrat Abbas is giving everyone his prayers, fulfilling prayers of every person. But when this person reached to Hazrat Abbas, Hazrat Abbas say, go in the end of the line. Again this person comes, and again Abbas says, go into the end of the line. That person wakes up and start crying. Again he narrates this dream to his alim, and again alim says, look, Abbas has not refused you, just deferred your request. But don't worry, Hazrat Abbas will give you that thing. Allahu Akbar. That alim said that it was in the morning. I was busy and my offering my prayers. I don't know when this person left the haram of Hazrat Abbas. But when after offering my Fajr prayers, I was crossing to one of these trees, I saw there is a mob, there is a crowd over there. People have gathered in front of a house. I asked that, why you have been gathered over there? He said, a miracle has happened, that a child was being born blind, has been given and blessed eyes with the intercession of Hazrat Abbas. Now we are sitting over here. We have lots of wishes and prayers and dua. And give this wasila and this intercession to Abbas. And don't have doubt that Allah will inshallah will accept our prayers to Hazrat Abbas. Allahu Akbar. Abbas has given that elevated place that Allah, that Abbas can intercede between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has that opportunity. Allah has given him this quality. Allahu Akbar. Yes, Abbas is someone like that person. He achieved that person because he restrained himself. He did sabr and istiqamah and steadfast in Karbala and be obedient to his brother Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Abbas came to Hussein and asked, Hussein, oh my Mawla, give me permission so I can go into battlefield, Allahu Akbar, and fulfill my responsibility. My Imam Hussein said, oh Abbas, you are the flag bearer of my army. Abbas must have replied, oh Mawla, where is that army? I can't see that army. I can't see Zuhair. I can't see Muslim. I can't see Jaun. I can't see Habib ibn Mazahir. I can't even see Ali Akbar and Qasim. Allahu Akbar. All of them has sacrificed their life. Give me permission. While these two brothers were talking, the cry, the hue of those thirsty children they heard, Al-Atash, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein couldn't resist and asked, okay, you want to go to the battlefield? First go and fetch some water for these children. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sakina heard his father saying, Hazrat Abbas, his uncle, to bring water. Hazrat Sakina went and bring his bottle so Hazrat Abbas can fill that bottle. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's why Hazrat Abbas been said, Saqqai Saqina, that he is the one who went to bring water for Hazrat Sakina and other kids over there. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas went towards Farat. Went to Farat. Allahu Akbar. They were being 4,000 army men guarding that Farat. So not even a drop of water can reach into the camps of Imam Hussein. Allahu Akbar. Every bird and every animal is having water. Drink and drink water. But the only people who cannot have water are the grandson and his family. Grandson of the Holy Prophet and his family. They are thirsty. It's all Atash, Al-Atash in the camps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Hazrat Abbas bravely fought and killed many people before he reached to the Nahr al-Qama over there. He filled that. He filled that bottle of skin. Allahu Akbar. Then he took. Hazrat Abbas himself was thirsty. For several days he did not have even a drop of water. Even if he had water, he has all the justifications. But he takes water into his hands and then says, oh nafs, Ba'd al-Husayn Huni, would you like to be remain after Hussein? Hussein is thirsty. Hussein is thirsty. Son of Fatima is thirsty. And you would like to drink the water. And you would like to have that syrup of water into your hearts. No, it cannot happen. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abbas put their water into Nahre and into the Farad and stood up and rode his on the back of horse and went towards the camp. These army, Amr ibn Sa'd, when he saw that they cannot come in from front and encounter Abbas, they asked his men to hide themselves and then attack Abbas. Abbas went forward and he was going, all his eyes was towards the camp of Imam Hussein. So this water can reach to the throats of those little kids who are saying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Abbas went forward. A person came from right side. He attacked him and chopped his right hand. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Abbas said, don't you worry. Even you have chopped my right hand, but still I will continue to help my brother. And I will be with him always. I will defend the religion of my prophet. Abbas went forward, took that bottle into his left hand. Again he went forward. Another person came from the left side. He attacked on Abbas and chopped his left arm. Allahu Akbar. And then there was a rain of arrows which attacked Abbas. One of the arrows came, Allahu Akbar, to that bottle of water. And that all that water poured down on the battlefield of Karbala. And the hopes of Abbas also came down. Abbas injured with all those arrows and the spears which was been hit to them. Abbas came down. Abbas fell down from his horse. You know, one of the orators in Iraq, one of the reciters in Iraq, Ahle Mimbar, he saw a dream. He saw Hazrat Fatima in his dream and said, oh reciter, why don't you recite all the masaib of my son? He said, the reciter says, oh Bibi, oh my respected Hazrat Fatima, I recited all the masaib of your son Imam Hussein. He said, no, my son Abbas, recite that whosoever used to fall down from his horse, used to take the help of his hand, but when Abbas fell down from his horse, he had no arms to get the support. But Abbas said, alayka minni salam. Alayka minni salam, ya Aba Abdullah. Oh my brother,
brother, accept my last salam to you. At the time, Imam Hussein was standing near the camp, and he said, Alan ankazarat zahri, Alan ankazarat zahri, my back has broken, my brother has been slaughtered. Allahu Akbar. Imam Hussein went to Hazrat Abbas and said, Abbas, do you have any wish? Do you have any last wish? Yes, he said, I have a wish. The blood is in my eyes. Can you clean that blood so I can see your face? For the last time. And one more thing. Don't take my body. Don't take my body to the camp. Because I couldn't able to bring water for Sakina. When Imam Hussein reached near camp, Hazrat Sakina saw the flag. They were running. Ask all the children to come. Look, my uncle is coming back. Look, my uncle is coming back. My ammu is coming back. He's bringing water for us. But when she saw a broken flag and a broken father, she did not ask for the water. What she asked, she inquired, where is my uncle Abbas? Where is my uncle Abbas? I don't want water. Give me my bag, Abbas.
السلام على الحسين وعلى آل ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين اللهم نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم العز الأجل الأكرم وبدأ من مقتول بكربلاء يا الله.